Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, during this week, you occupy our hearts, our minds, with a very serious subject. Our minds occupied with the question, to which extent we are practically in your holy presence. And we feel how much we need your help, Lord Jesus, while speaking, while listening, in order to get a blessing, in order to learn more and more to live our lives in your presence, in your holy presence. And that is, may have a blessed result in our lives. In the first place, for you, for our brothers and sisters, and our testimony in this world. We pray again for your help. We pray again for your guidance. We can't do, Lord Jesus, anything without you. Amen.
Amen.
I would like you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. We're going to read the first 11 verses of this portion. Luke chapter 5, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were watching their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch in out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook and followed him. This portion deals in the first place with an encounter between the Lord Jesus and his disciples, but in a very special way with Peter. It's not the first time that Peter encountered the Lord Jesus or that the Lord Jesus spoke to Peter. In John's Gospel, Peter's brother brought him to Jesus. We have found the Messiah. What a wonderful testimony of a brother to his own physical brother. We have found the Messiah. And we read in that portion in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 32, that Jesus looked at Peter. And I looked in a dictionary, the meaning of that word, look. And I saw that it means an intensive look, earnest looking. He had just his look on Peter. And he changed Peter. He changed his name. And we know from Scripture that this has an important meaning. It is a change in your life. It means that you belong now to him who changed your life. Peter became a living stone. And we know from his letters that he never forgot that encounter with the Lord Jesus, becoming a living stone. We will come later to that when we are going to read a few portions in his letters. When I read this portion, of course, I read it in the context of the preceding verses and the following verses. And I was struck by the fact that this portion in Luke 5 is preceded by the portion that Brother Tim spoke about on Sunday, I think, where the Lord Jesus was in the synagogue. And there was a man possessed by an unclean spirit in the synagogue, where the word of God was preached. And nobody was aware of him. But it was only this man, not all the people in the synagogue, but it was this man possessed by an unclean spirit who said, I know who you am. You are the Holy One of God. This portion precedes the portion that occupies now our minds, where, as we will later see, Peter sees a man, just like other men. But we are going to see that he is going to discover who is this man, God himself. But the demon, he knew it. It is a very serious matter, also for us in our days. Satan is the ruler of this world. He's the ruler of demons. He's present in this world. He might be more present, more visible in countries like, continents like Africa, but also present in our society, more, perhaps in a more subtle way. And he knows who the Lord Jesus is. He knows that he is the Holy One of God. The world does not know it. The question is, to which extent do we know it? We know it. We know it from Scripture. It's a truth for us, a precious truth. But the question is, to which extent has it influence in our lives that we know Him as the Holy One of God? When Tim was speaking about that portion in Mark's Gospel, I was reminded of a visit in Cameroon, a small Cameroonian village, in 1978 with Brother Siegfried Nick. We were in a gospel meeting and the Lord led me to speak about the 5 encounters that the Lord Jesus had with demons, especially in the gospel according to Mark. And there was a man sitting there among all the others who had confessed the Lord, who had confessed that he had burned everything that he had used in serving the demons. But we noticed a backsliding in his life. And I will never forget that was speaking about that portion where the demon says, "I know who you are, the Holy of God." That this man started to tremble on his bench. And he left the meeting hall. He couldn't stay there. It was, to a certain extent, a terrifying experience. But in a few seconds, the Lord gave strength to continue preaching the word, realizing for myself, this man left knowing that the Lord Jesus is the Holy One of God. But that's all. He's in fear. He's a slave of the ruler of this world and of Satan. But I am allowed. I have a privilege. By the undeserving grace of God to continue speaking about the Lord Jesus and to feel. And it became so real for me at that moment, so many years ago. I am speaking about my precious Lord and Savior in His presence. In His holy presence. And it made a big impact on me at that moment. I will never forget it. I just want to share this experience with you, not because of myself, but just to emphasize that it is possible for us to serve the Lord even without saying a word, just in our daily life, in our activities, in our jobs, whatever we do, and to be always aware of the holiness of the Lord Jesus. And not only to be aware of His holiness, but to live in His presence, to be aware of His presence, to be active out of His presence. And Peter had that experience here in Luke chapter 5. In a very special way. It's so different from the portions we read before. When Moses approached God, God said, "Stop. Take the place where you stand is holy ground. Do not draw near the place." Joshua got a similar answer. "Take your sandal off your foot." But here we find a man, Jesus. And the encounter is different. We find in this portion a very normal normal activities. There are professional fishermen like Peter and others. They have been fishing the whole night and they knew where to fish. And deep water at night. They toiled the whole night, no result. And then the Lord Jesus arrives there. And what an humble man. He approaches Peter, and when he sees the multitude, he feels he needs a pulpit so that he can speak to the multitude. And we find in Luke's gospel that he asked Simon to put out a little from the land. He just asked Simon, "Simon, please, can I use your boat?" Peter was probably a successful fisherman. He had a boat. He had employees. Also the other disciples. They were working. We may wonder why Peter was there. The Lord had already called him, had changed his name. But for any reason, Peter went back and continued with his job. And the Lord Jesus started to teach the multitude from the boat. And when he had stopped preaching, he said to Peter, actually, I should not say Peter. He said to Simon, it was not Peter. He said to Simon, the old Simon. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That was a very strange order. Peter and all the other fishermen were professionals, and they knew that when you are going to fish, you are not going to do it in broad daylight, and you're going to not do it to do it in deep water. You do it at night and in swallow water. But it was the Lord who spoke. It was Jesus who spoke. And then the answer of Simon, Master, it is the only time that the word master is used in the Gospels. Only Luke uses this word master. The meaning is similar to the word commander that we found in Joshua, where Joshua meets the man and he said, I am the commander. And that's the meaning, the principal meaning of this word master, commander. We have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. And then we see that they need the help of others. And then we see that with all this big quantity of fish, the boats began to sink. So there was failure. The net was breaking. The help of the others was not sufficient. And the boats began to sink. And Peter saw this. And when Peter saw what happens there, he all of a sudden realized in whose presence he was. He all of a sudden realized, I am in the presence of the one who sees the fish deep in the water And the eyes of the one who sees the fishes in the deep of the water, these eyes also see me inside. He knows all my thoughts. He knows me entirely. And he all of a sudden comes to the conclusion, I am a sinful man, and the Lord knows it. I don't deserve to be in his presence. The Lord, depart from me. All of a sudden he realized, I am in the presence of the one who created the fishes in Genesis 1. And there's a verse in the book of Job that I would like to quote. And the fish of the sea will explain to you, Job 12, verse 8 and 9. Who among all these does not know has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living? That was the Lord Jesus, the man God. And Peter realizes this. But he realizes these two things. It's so touching. It's really touching what he says. Depart from me, Lord. Separation. He can't be in his presence. He can't be in his holy presence. He feels I'm a sinful man and this is the holy God. I have to retire. I can't be there. But he feels at his knees. And at the same time he feels that the same holy one that he is not worthy of is also full of grace. If not, Peter would not have felt at his feet. And the Lord Jesus in his grace sees the state of Peter. The Lord Jesus sees how Peter is convinced of his sinfulness. How Peter all of a sudden understands, I'm not worthy. I deserve judgment. I'm a sinful man. I can't be in the presence of the Lord. All of a sudden, just like the nets were breaking, Peter breaks down. Entirely breaks down. There's nothing left over of the Peter, of Simon. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. But then the Lord says, do not be afraid, he says it to Simon. From now on, you will catch men. From now on, you will catch man. This word catch has another meaning than the word catch that has been used before. When you catch fish, you do this because you are going to kill them. From time to time, Brother John, who knows that I like fish, sends me pictures of big fishes. Just to tease me, because he knows that I like fish. But I know this fish is killed or will be killed. And will be kept in the freezer and will be eaten. But the word catch here, it's important. The word catch here, from now on you will catch fish, means you will catch them to keep them alive. You will catch them to keep them alive for me, for the Lord Jesus. You will catch them, you will catch men so that they will belong to me. You will do it for me. You, a living stone, you will catch men so that they also become living stones. What a difference between the way men catch to kill and the Lord catch to have living, saved persons. How important it is, dear brothers and sisters, And I also would like to address to the young people and children here, to know that we live in a world where Satan is the ruler, where demons go around, if you are aware of it or not. But the Bible says that this is happening. I found a verse somewhere, I wrote it down. Give me a minute, please. Yeah. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 12, we read a verse that helps us to understand that we are surrounded by people who are described in Ecclesiastes 9 verse 12 as follows. For man also does not know his time, like fish taken in a cruel net. Yeah. The unbelievers we are singing about. The unbelievers that we would like to know to get the Lord Jesus as Savior. They are like those who are like fish taken in a cruel net, Satan's net, the ruler of the world. Satan and his demons are busy trying to get to hell, the hell as full as possible. In Jeremiah 5 verse 26, we read of leaders in wickedness who catch men. Leaders of wickedness who catch men. There are two groups in this world. Those who catch men to kill them for the hell. And those who catch men for the Lord Jesus. And we can only catch men for the Lord Jesus to make them living stones. Of the Lord Jesus, make them living stones when we really live in his holy presence. And Peter never forgot this encounter with the Lord Jesus. He speaks about it in his letters. Let me quickly turn to these two letters, because as usually I'm running out of time. It's one of my many weaknesses. In Peter, we find the expression royal priesthood. Holy priesthood. One. And then royal priesthood, holy nation. These two go together. Holy priesthood, God purposed. Royal priesthood, holy nation, man purposed. Holy priesthood to God. And as the holy priesthood, what do we present him? The Lord Jesus, the Holy One of God. The one the angel said about, that the only thing that is going to be born is called the Son of God. And when we act as a holy priesthood, we present to God his Son, the Holy One. We can't do this when we do not live in the presence of his holiness. How is it possible? God cannot accept it. It will not even reach the ceiling. It's so important to be aware of the holiness of God, to be aware of the privilege to live in the presence of the Holy God when we present him, his Son, as a holy priesthood. And it's the same royal priesthood. We have our testimony in the world. How can we present the Lord Jesus as the Holy One of God? The demon, he knows it. But to which extent evident conviction in us that we present to the world the Lord Jesus as the Holy One of God. And we lay testimony of as the royal priesthood in this world. It's such a serious matter. It's a privilege. It's also a big privilege. When we compare ourselves to the world, what a privilege do we have that we know the Lord Jesus, that we know Him as the Holy One of God, and then we have the privilege to live in His presence. But the question that occupies my mind time and again is, to which extent do I really live in His holy presence? To which extent do I really realize I am allowed, I have the privilege to live in His holy presence? In the same letter, Peter also speaks about the Father. He says in First Peter chapter 1 verse 17, and if you call on the Father, or as Darby says, and if you invoke as Father Him who without partiality judge according to each one's work, conduct yourself throughout the time of your stay here in fear. I think I told him one day, when I used to walk in the Netherlands. It's a flat country, so you can walk. I like walking, but at the same time, I listen to Anchor for Life. I listen to Brian Reynolds. I listen to Brother Paul and others. I always tell my children, when you walk, you use your body. You use your soul because you enjoy the nature. Netherlands is a beautiful country. And you use your spirit because you listen and you enjoy the word of God. And I remember that I was listening to lectures of our brother Tim about the fear. And you know, when you listen to a brother on YouTube, you can stop him. You can say, Tim, stop. And I want to listen again to that sentence because he didn't understand it very well. And you listen again. But it made such an impression on me. The thought he expressed about the fear of God. What the fear means. That we are not anxious, but that we fear to act against the will and the thoughts of the Father who loves us. And I think of the Lord Jesus, who in John 17 speaks about us. He speaks about you. He speaks about me. He speaks about those, Father, those that you have given me. Isn't it? Those that you have given me. And what does he say? Holy Father, Holy Father, sanctify them through your word. That's the prayer of the Lord Jesus. Holy Father. Speaks about you. Speaks about me. Holy Father. Sanctify them. Keep them. Separate them. Keep them in practical holiness. Separate from this world. And he also says, righteous Father. And then, I have 40 minutes. Then 1 Peter 4. I think it's in 1 Peter 4, where it speaks about the sufferings of the Lord Jesus. 1 Peter 4, the first three verses, it speaks about the suffering of the Lord Jesus on earth. Not the sufferings of the cross, but the sufferings because of the one who, the Holy One, who served his God, who did the will of his God. And there was opposition, there was hatred. But he went on. And he's presented to us an example that we are called to walk in this world and to accept the sufferings from this world while we behave as Christians. But then, I just want to emphasize two expressions. In verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time And then the second expression, we have spent enough of our past lifetime. Two expressions. Our past lifetime. That was the time before our repentance. Or perhaps the time before our backsliding. Because during backsliding, there's no Christian life. There's no life in the presence of the holiness of God. That's the past. Our past lifetime. This time doesn't come back. You can't repair it. It's lost. It's behind. But there's another expression. The rest of his time. We have a rest of our time. We have a rest of our time. The time started the day of our repentance and will end at the coming of the Lord, of if he wants us to take in heaven before till that moment. How do we use the rest of our time? That can be very short. We are waiting for the coming of the Lord, isn't it? He can come today. And then the rest of our time is over. So how are we going to use the rest of our time? Are we going to live out of the presence of a holy God? Are we going to live in the presence of the one who is holy? Taking in account his holiness. Being aware of his holiness. Our relationship with the Holy One. Who is at the same time our loving Lord Jesus, our loving God and Father. May the Lord help us to use the rest of our time in this way to his glory and in such a way that he can use us to catch fish from the net of the wicked one. So that they get saved. Amen.